Well, we want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry this morning, and I trust that as you're drinking your cup of coffee, or maybe on your way to work, or maybe you're even already at work, and you're starting your day with us, thank you so much for taking the time to just spend time with us as we talk about how to spend time with others. We've been talking to Dr. Tori Stevens and Mr. Ken Higgins concerning medical missions trips. And Ken and Dr. Stevens, we've heard a few things that you folks have been doing in Peru and Uganda and India. How did you get involved with these kinds of trips? Did someone personally recruit you? And if so, why this organization?
Well, for me, for years, I've always wanted to be part of a missions trip. And I've been in the eye business for a little over 30 years and always heard about people going on trips and serving the medical part of it. And it was always an interest of mine, but the doors never seemed to open because of, well, cost is a big issue.
Sure.
And then raising a young family and just a lot of responsibilities, I just never had the freedom to go. And it was about 6 years ago that Dr. Melcher approached me and asked if I'd be interested in going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a nice conversation, and I thanked him very much for bringing it to my attention that I said I'd pray about it. And he again approached me the next time he saw me, and he said, "How's the prayer going? Would you be interested in going on one of these trips?" And I said, "Well, I'd really like to," but I started throwing up all kinds of objections, issues that would prevent me from being able to go. And he just kept knocking down the barriers. And so every time he'd see me, I'd have another issue that would say I couldn't go. And he'd say, "Well, if we could clear that up, would you be able to go?" And his persistence eventually pushed me out onto the field, and I've gone every year since.
So is Dr. Melcher still a friend?
Some days.
It sounds like that kind of a friend really believes that you need to step out and kind of like get your feet wet and trust the Lord in areas where you're a little bit uneasy.
Dr. Melcher has two ministries. One is certainly his vocation, but a second is to not just lead people to Christ, but to take people that are already accepted Christ as Lord and Savior and grow them and mature them to be servants of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly changed my life when he encouraged me and assisted me to get onto that first trip.
You know, it's been said that the safest place that a Christian can be is in the will of God. But I really wonder, because there are some places that I think you folks have been going that you really wouldn't call them safe places, would you?
Most people wouldn't consider them safe, but I think Ken and I would both tell you that we're safe because we're saved. Doesn't matter where I am.
So it's the protection of God halfway around the world, maybe, and in the eyes of others, there may not be the safety issue that you'd like, but there's a special, awesome trust in the Lord.
I think a mission trip is a great way to develop that kind of trust in the Lord, because in our daily lives, we think we have so much control and we do so many plans. And a lot of times when things go well in our lives, we kind of give ourselves a little pat on the back because we did everything right. We pursue all these things that might happen and go wrong that we avoided. But when you get out on a mission trip and you have no idea what the day is going to hold, you realize your lack of control, and either you're going to fall down in fear or you're going to put your trust in the Lord. And when you're amongst a group of Christians, it's much easier to just put your trust in the Lord and
exactly.
Just see the way that he works things out.
Are there times then that you are in countries where Christians are not well received?
Our last trip to India, the population base was 80% Hindu and about 14% Muslim, and less than 2% of the population was Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And of that Christian, it was majority of them Christian in name only. So
okay.
Christianity wasn't well received. And in India, they consider themselves open to religion, but you can't proselytize. And so it's an unsafe environment to go and share the gospel message with somebody.
So do you guys have maybe an example or two of how God protected you specifically in an unsafe situation as it appeared?
Well, in Uganda, one of the things that happened was that we initially were going to Kanungu, which is up in the mountains, and we were to minister to the pygmy people.
Mm-hmm.
And on our way up the mountain, our truck got a flat tire. And it was in a convoy of three vehicles, big vehicles, plus some scout vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And there was great difficulty in finding a place that had a compressor to fix this tire.
Oh.
But in the meantime, the scout vehicles were out. And as we were traveling, the mountains were literally falling down. There were mudslides everywhere. There were hundreds of people killed. There were hundreds of homes destroyed. But basically, our flat tire kept us from being right in the area that we would have gotten hit by mudslides. We never were able to get into Kanungu, but God still blessed us greatly, and we still had 4 fabulous days of clinic, saw many, many people, and saw many people come to Christ.
Now that is the hand of God. It's kind of like the Apostle Paul, who wanted to go in one direction, and he said the Spirit would not let him go. So whether it's the Spirit or mudslides, one or the other, you get the idea that, okay, God says, nope, that's not where I want you to go. So the next question is, okay, where do you want us to go? Because God can close doors and then open doors, can't he? As you are dealing with all these sick folks, there, of course, is the danger of sickness yourself and disease. And now, do you get shots before you go?
Lots of them. Yeah. Depending upon where you go. But yes, you know, you do have to be immunized before you go. And it's no different than a lot of people who travel overseas end up having to be immunized because of the susceptibility of foreign agents that you're just not familiar with.
Right.
You know, we took a lot of precautions and we brought our own water. You know, you brushed your teeth with bottled water. You didn't touch the water that's in the local area.
Sure.
We were very careful about the kinds of foods that we ate. Oftentimes it was military rations.
Okay.
And rice. Mm-hmm. But you mm-hmm. took a lot of precautions.
Which is wise.
Yeah. And the group that runs these trips is very, very, very well prepared in
right.
what to do and how to do it. And so it took a lot of the worry out of it. Personally, for me, I just trusted that this is what the Lord wanted.
Exactly.
And that whatever would happen is the Lord's will. And in every situation, I never felt unsafe or insecure. We had difficulties and trouble with travel, with communication, but we never, ever felt physically unsafe.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a time that another pastor and I went to Chad, Africa for 2 weeks, and there were situations that would arise that, you know, you begin to wonder, are we going to get out of here alive? And everything was just totally different. But you're right. God gives you just an awesome peace. And then when you see the way the people respond to the Word of God, man, it is just amazing. Then we were asked, 3 pastors were asked to go to train 122 national pastors and their wives from Iraq. This was right after Saddam Hussein went out of power. And so we were going to be training them in the country of Turkey. But like 3 days before we were to leave on the trip, they called us and said, Turkey will not allow these pastors to come into their country. You're going to have to go into Iraq. The Baghdad airport was not even open for anybody to land. And so the question arose, do we feel safe? The answer was no. But that didn't make a difference. We went anyway. It was such an awesome privilege to train these 122 pastors and their wives. And we actually held a Christian wedding because they'd never seen a Christian wedding. Now, we understood finally what it meant for someone to ride shotgun in your vehicle, only they had an Uzi submachine gun. And so one was riding in the vehicle with you, 2 behind you. And then when we got to our hotel, there were 6 there. When we got to the place we were teaching, there was 1 on the roof, 1 in the room, 2 at the door, 1 at the entrance. And, you know, so they provided an adequate protection because the pastor there, the Iraqi pastor, told his governor that he was having American dignitaries to come in. And so we were the American dignitaries, and it was really awesome just to see the gospel shared in this way. That is what just kind of keeps you going back, doesn't it?
What other reason would you go?
That's it.
You know, we can go and give temporary care. You know, Dr. Stevens can heal many people temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
But you know they're going to get sick again. You know they're going to have long-term issues. And the following week or the following month, Dr. Torrey isn't going to be there.
Right.
So then what are they going to do? But if you give them the gospel message and you give them the New Testament, they now have eternity in their hands.
Exactly right.
And in India, the opportunity that we had, I mean, we treated over 2,000 people in 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so the crowds were tremendous. And not everybody chose to go and listen to the gospel message. But
mm-hmm.
the ones that did, we had over 390 people accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior who were once Hindu or Muslim who now are Christians today.
Yeah. Wow.
So was it worth it? You know, Christ said, even if just one would have accepted it, it would have been worth it.
Exactly. Dr. Stevens, you were talking in, during the break about how the Lord just kind of opened a door on your Uganda trip. Tell me about that.
Well, we had plans to minister to the Pygmy people, but those plans were completely changed when there was no access to getting to the top of the mountain. We only got partway up, and we had to turn right around and go back where we'd come from. And I think at first it was kind of with heavy hearts, but we were on a bus. Everyone started singing to the Lord, and before we knew it, we were all praising the Lord, and our spirits were lifted.
Yes.
And that night, all the people who had led the group as far as the leadership staff got together, sat down, set up other clinics, and within 24 hours, we had new clinics set up. And again, we saw the full number of people that we would have seen had we gotten to Kanungu.
Right.
And again, had just a really overwhelming response to the gospel in the cities we were able to go to.
You know, God doesn't just do that in Uganda. God does that here in America, doesn't he?
Absolutely. In fact, since being on these medical missions trips, I've had the opportunity to get involved in a free clinic in Milwaukee, doing almost exactly the same thing and giving the same kind of care and giving people opportunity to be loved and cared for. Obviously, around us, we have tremendous wealth and we have abundance, but there are people that don't have access to that.
Right.
And so to be able to reach into those people's lives right here in our own community, you don't have to travel halfway across the world to be able to give the gospel message. You just have to go next door.
Have your trips to the mission field opened any doors for you with your co-workers?
Funny that you'd say that, because this weekend I'll be working at the free clinic and I have four of my co-workers that are going to join me for the first time come and see the ministry. And I would say one of them is a born-again Christian and three of them are a nominal Christian.
So
this will be an opportunity for them to see ministry in work.
But it definitely helps them to understand that you're not just a Christian because you go to church on Sunday. You're a Christian 7 days a week, 24/7, and the Lord opens opportunities to go to other locations that cannot get these kind of services, and you go. And, well, I wish we had more time, but we have run out of time again. And I just want you to understand, as you're sitting there listening to us in your car or your living room or your office maybe, that what we have just been describing last couple of days has been an opportunity to go out of your comfort zone. You know, you don't have to go halfway around the world to get out of your comfort zone. God may know that you have a comfort zone boundary right where you live, right where you work, maybe in your neighborhood. Maybe the Lord has been challenging you these last couple of days to step outside of your comfort zone and begin to care about people around you that have physical needs and maybe needs for food or care or whatever it might be. And you can meet those needs like a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. So until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.